Hey everyone, thanks so much for joining me on the Slice of Construction podcast. I'm your host, Jared Taylor. Joining me today is Forrest Flager, the CEO and co-founder at ParSpec. Forrest, how are you today?
Great to be with you, Jared. Doing well.
I'm excited to have you here. Let's dive right in. Tell the audience a little bit about yourself and then we'll talk about ParSpec.
Yes. From the construction engine industry originally, started my career on the architecture and engineering side, designing sports venues in Europe and the U.S. Had a stint in academia, and then most recently before ParSpec, I was part of a vertically integrated multifamily offsite fabrication, design offsite fabrication, construct on-site company called Katerra, and I led the software team there.
And let's talk about that transition from being there to starting ParSpec. What did that look like? Is it, I always like to hear when that light bulb moment came up too. I need to start this company. Like, what was that light bulb moment for you where you're like, I need to start ParSpec?
Yeah, so the ParSpec is really focused on making the product selection and procurement process for construction easier. That pain is something I experienced first as a designer. For those designers in the audience, you know, it's typical that you have a set of performance requirements and you're kind of like trying to identify products in the market that may meet that for a specification. And for those that have done that, it's a pretty labor intensive process today. The information around products isn't real structured. So you're visiting manufacturer sites, you're using Google, but very difficult to sort of understand all the products that are available and search them based on technical criteria. Most recently at Katerra, one of the things that I was responsible for was building software to make the procurement process easier. So saw the pain around understanding pricing and lead time and how difficult it was to kind of obtain that information. And that sort of really led to wanting to start ParSpec because I felt like there was a good place to go to market with this sort of a solution of making data more accessible around products. So ParSpec is actually targeting the sales side, the seller side of the market here. We're supporting distributors and sales agents of those products, and happy to discuss a little bit more about why we decided to target that part of the value chain.
Yeah, I would love to hear that. I know our audience would love to hear that too. Like what went into kind of that thought process to say, we want to focus on this part of the supply chain?
Yeah, so for those that aren't familiar, most material or products are purchased by trade contractors. And the workflow typically would be, if say an electrical trade contractor or a plumbing trade contractor wanted to, bid a job, they would essentially typically send like the drawings and specifications to a distributor and request that they quote all of the relevant products. So the distributor, working with the supply chain really has the responsibility of matching sort of requirements, project requirements or technical requirements to available products in the market. So wanted to help solve that problem, and distributors play a key role in sort of product selection. Another reason for focusing on distribution is that part of the market is fairly consolidated. We're currently in the electrical industry. And so that, you have the top 10 electrical contractors that have, roughly half the market. It's much more fragmented on the buyer side. Top 10 electrical contractors or subs have about 6% of the market. So in terms of grabbing market share and being able to scale the business, we felt the seller side was more advantageous there.
Forrest, it wouldn't be content today in 2024 if I don't ask you, about artificial intelligence role and what you've built. Can you talk us through I know when you're looking at your whole process, right? How are you leveraging AI today to streamline that procurement process?
Yeah, so I'll quickly cover sort of the traditional process, right? So as I was mentioning, once a distributor receives that sort of request a quote from a contractor, they're typically manually comparing like a PDF drawing or design specification And then they're navigating to manufacturer websites, they're identifying data sheets, and they're sort of comparing technical criteria to identify products that meet a spec, right? So you can imagine how time consuming that is. If you have 50 or 100 different products, you know, on a project, typically it's taking like 6 to 8 hours to put that quote together. What ParSpec does differently to sort of make that process easier is we essentially use web crawling to crawl all of the manufacturer websites. So we have over 2,000 electrical manufacturers supported today. We index all of the product documentation that they host on their websites. So that includes data sheets, install guides, warranty documents. And then we leverage AI, in particular computer vision and machine learning, to extract out relevant attributes that are in those documents. And those are typically the search criteria that are in a spec. So for lighting, that includes like wattage, dimensions, warranty information, you know, color, those sorts of things. And what that allows us to do is we can programmatically identify all of the products that meet a design specification from the suppliers that a given distributor or sales agent works with. So, you know, we can say, hey, there are 12 products from your preferred suppliers that meet your design specification. And that saves a lot of legwork on the sales side for these distributors, reduces time to quote by 50 to 80%. And so that's the value that we're offering with the platform.
Every great company faces its early challenges, right? Like, what were those challenges for ParSpec, and how did you end up overcoming them?
Yeah, I think every founder has this seminal moment of when they decide to sort of jump from whatever they were doing before to start a new venture. For me, that I've always wanted to start my own business, but you know, I waited, I guess, till later in my career. I think fear of like starting something from scratch played a role in that. I think what did it for me, I was still at Katerra at the time, and we were basically had built a prototype of the application for a slightly different part of the workflow, the submittal process. But we had a very small group of users in there essentially beta testing the application. And frankly, the application wasn't very good. It was very rough and ready, as any early prototypes are. And when I saw essentially like these customers spending hours in the application for free, providing detailed feedback on how we could make it better, to me, it just spoke on how much of the pain point there really was for these people that were spending, you know, most of their day making submittals, and convinced me that there was a real opportunity here, and that if we improve the tool, you know, there is a market. And so for me, that was sort of the moment in which I wanted to, you know, kind of jump and do this full time. Happy to dive in further there, but that was sort of the seminal moment to jump. Since that point, we faced many challenges. Happy to dive in more there.
Yeah, but before we do that, and congrats on obviously taking that jump, because that's obviously not easy. What advice would you have for that new entrepreneur that does take the jump? Like, let's call it first 6 months of making that jump. Where can, you know, what can you offer them so maybe they don't make certain mistakes, or maybe they as a result they can set themselves up for success much faster?
Well, at least for me, and I think for many people, there's sort of a fear of failure that involves like leaving potentially like a more stable or secure job. And I felt like I overvalued that stability. I mean, you know, at the point that I decided to found ParSpec, I already had, in a sense, a track record and experience. Like, if ParSpec hadn't have worked out, I'm sure I could have gone back to an engineering or, you know, academic job. I think I undervalued just what the price to failure is. So I encourage like young entrepreneurs, think about that, right? If you take 6 months or a year to try something new, you know, that doesn't derail your career overall. So for me, that was an important factor of just being a little bit more courageous, right, with making career decisions. Other advice that I would give to founders are that early team. is critical. I think having a group of people that ideally you've kind of been through the fire with, that you know how they're going to react in difficult situations, and that you really respect and are high integrity folks, I think is critical. I was fortunate that when we got funding for Parsec and I was building the team, Katerra was actually declaring bankruptcy, which was my previous company. So, you know, I had the chance to work with many talented people there, and a lot of people, frankly, just came on the market at that time. So it was a great chance to reconnect with people I had a ton of respect for, and that really became the, you know, some of the key contributors in the early stages of the business. So kind of silver lining a little bit there in terms of how that worked out, and really fortunate to have that opportunity to bring those folks on board.
When you were first raising funding, what are some of the things you wish you knew before going through that process?
Well, two things. I think one, you know, investors, the partners that you would ideally like to have really do a tremendous amount of diligence into the business, particularly in the seed stage. And so there were the sort of hard metrics like revenue and number of customers and things that obviously demonstrate some sort of traction that would be attractive to an investor. But really having a few customers that can tell the story, that you can reference for an investor and really talk to the value and the opportunity, because often when you're seeking a first funding, you're not fully taking advantage of the broader vision of the business or the product offering. And so what an investor is really testing is there the ultimate market there, right? And, you know, is that of a size that's really interested to us as a venture investor? They're not always going to believe you. They're going to seek validation from others, experts in the space, one of which is your customers. So cultivate those relationships where those customers can not only talk about the product they're using today, but also the potential of the vision you're building. I don't think I fully realized that when I was initially fundraising, but definitely something I appreciate now. One more component, I think is, and this is more of how to identify the right investor. So if you're lucky enough to be able to choose, and you're seeking something from an investor other than capital, for many venture investors, they may not be very familiar with the construction space. You're seeing growing interest from generalist VCs in that space. But for me, it was important that if they did not understand the space, they were genuinely interested in learning, so that they could actually provide guidance, right, and go to market and leverage their experience in the unique sort of workflows and go-to-market dynamics of construction. So I really valued investors that sort of took the time and I felt were genuine in their desire to really learn about the market. So, you know, also when you think about investors, you're really building like a syndicate. You'll probably have more than one investor. And so you can think about how their skills complement each other. I think that's very important, right? Is you're building a team here. And so different investors have different strengths. Think about what each one is contributing to get you what you need to grow the business.
In there, of course, you mentioned vision. Talk us through, you know, what's your long-term vision for Parsec?
I ultimately view Parsec as a data company, right? I hinted at this earlier, but sort of lack of transparency and accessibility of product information impacts almost every phase of the value chain in construction, right? First-hand experience on the design side, both identifying products. Also, most designers will tell you it's really difficult to understand what it costs. And when you're setting a specification and you're designing the project, you want to know whether it's in budget. And if it's difficult to get information on cost, you know, that's significant. I mean, 30% of design effort today is rework, right? Or value engineering existing projects. So I think there's a tremendous potential to make design more efficient by providing better information and materials, you know, half the cost of a building. So making material cost more transparent is valuable for design. I think it's obvious for contractors, right? Having better information about cost and lead time and what products are available that meet the spec. You know, today they get a very limited view of all of the products that are available that meet design requirements. It's really through, you know, the distributors and sales agents that they've built relationships with, which is, you know, typically 2 to 3, right? So I think there's opportunity to provide a broader view. And then you start to think about owners, right? They're operating buildings and they're interested in what new products that come onto the market that may meet my criteria around payback period or energy efficiency or carbon. And so I think there's an opportunity to sort of, if you're aware of what's currently installed in the building, provide better information to them to know what's new, right? And what may meet their goals, be it environmental, economic. So, you know, that's just a handful of things, but tremendous opportunity, I think, to, you know, provide better information around products to really the whole industry.
As we look to see you continue to execute on that vision, we're in 2024, what's kind of on the horizon that you can share with us for this year? That's kind of a last question as we wrap up here, in terms of what's next for ParSpec.
Yeah, so we actually released a product offering in January that's fairly new to market. So that's that product offering is really what we've talked about today around product selection and preparing quotes and reducing that time. Prior to that, ParSpec had a solution around the submittal process. So many in the industry are familiar with this. This is essentially like post-sale. Typically, the distributor produces like a data sheet associated with every product they're planning to supply so that the buyer can verify that it meets the requirements. So it's essentially like a very tedious document to produce and review. So that's the product we entered the market with, was automating essentially the creation of this submittal. In 2024, we're really going to be driving adoption and support for our full kind of configure price quote or CPQ platform, which includes product selection, quoting, and submittals, and really trying to get meaningful market share in the electrical and lighting industry. From there, right, I think there's opportunities to bring this to other product verticals. So for other trades that are listening, right, like plumbing, mechanical, doors and windows, there's some obvious other product categories in which the procurement process is largely similar and, you know, buyers and sellers in that market face very similar challenges. So that's what we're excited to sort of do beyond 2024.
Well, I'm excited to connect with you and continue to stay in touch with you to see how the story continues to evolve, but really excited for you, for the team. Congrats on everything that you've built so far. And thanks so much for joining me on the podcast here today.
Yeah, thanks, Jarrett. Pleasure talking to you.